thank you for a great honor to be able to come to you today and share some of God's Word. Really, that's all I have to offer is God's Word. But I believe today that our hearts will be blessed when we consider the truth of God's Word. God's Word is the greatest source of wisdom, the greatest source of comfort. It is for those of us who know Him. It's the only source of all that is good that can transform our lives. The Lord wants to change us. I'm not sure this morning if you came to be changed, but the Lord wants to change every one of us this morning. If we'll give Him a chance, He'll change our hearts today. The Lord has great expectations for His children. The Lord has provided by His death, the Lord Jesus' death on the cross, the privilege of an abundant life, a victorious life. And by and large, the church does not realize that. They certainly have not experienced that. They have not ever come close to understanding what the Lord had in mind for each of His children, for every one of us. We have fallen short of His glory. And I know that that term is most often used to describe a sinner, a person who has fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fallen short, come short of the glory of God. But we as God's children have fallen short of His glory. We have fallen short of that which He intended for us. We have not come to experience the fullness of God. That's always been the plight of the church. And I'm proud this morning to say that the church looks awful young. I'm glad. Church has always lived as paupers. When we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies according to His riches. That was true when the words of this precious book were written. That's true yet today. And the Lord would change us. The Lord would transform us. We know that this is a problem. We know that this is reality because there are multiple times in God's Word where we have indication through prayers that we are not experiencing all that the Lord has for us. One of those great prayers in the Scripture is Ephesians chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn. Ephesians chapter 3 is one of those great prayers, and I'd like to read to you at verse 14. And please hear the heart of God. See, this is a prayer. And every time we see a prayer, we should realize that that is an indication that there is a need. We pray because we have need. The Apostle Paul is praying because there was a need. He's praying for those who are primarily at the church of Ephesus, but because the Holy Spirit inspired this word, this is an inspired prayer. Dare I say that this is a prayer coming from the heart of God for His people. 3:14 of Ephesians, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named, that He might grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened by might, with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And that indicates to us what the Lord wants for the church. The Lord wants us to be rooted and grounded in love. Why? So that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Verse 19, to know the love of Christ that passes all understanding, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's the Lord's desire for all the saints, for you, for me. We have fallen short of his glory. How is it that we can be able to comprehend with all the saints? How is it that we can come to the point to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, which surpasses that? How is it that we can become filled with all the fullness of God? The love of Christ. Where are we going to find out about that? Somewhere in the Scripture, right? Where do you suggest we go? Where do we look for the love of Christ? Probably someone right now is suggesting 1 Corinthians 13. That's the love chapter. I certainly commend for your study 1 Corinthians 13, especially verses 4 through 7. Wonderful words. Don't take it real fast. I've just spent the better part of a year in those verses in a Bible study with some old folks. Take it slow. Love suffers long. Told you we don't know much about love. Love suffers long. That's 1 Corinthians 13. That'd be good. Somebody's probably saying, let's go to that John 3:16 verse. For God so loved the world. We certainly could learn something there. We could. I would encourage you to go to the love chapters. Love chapters. Turn, please, to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, I would suggest to you, and I'm not a great scholar, but John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, perhaps are the best place to learn about the love of Christ. I know we're not going to try to cover that this morning. But verse 1 of chapter 13 says this, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, and that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. So he knows, the Lord Jesus knows it's about time to go home. And he loves them to the end. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, he loves them to the end. 17, a wonderful prayer on the part of the Lord Jesus. The last verse of verse 17 reads this way, and I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love with which thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Now that is the love of Christ. Somewhere between those two verses, he loved his own. He loved them to the end. And he's praying for you that the love with which thou hast loved me may be in them. It's got to be somewhere in between that we find the love of Christ. Great, great chapters. If you don't know where to turn in your Bible next time, turn there and ask for the Lord to reveal his love for you from these chapters. Great, you know, just great. What, you know, this is a time when the Lord Jesus washed the disciples' feet, including Judas. That's the love of Christ. He knew the hearts of his loved ones here is troubled. He knew that they weren't ready for his departure. He says to them, 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then he tells about what he's going to be doing in his absence. That's the love of Christ. You do realize, don't you, that the Lord Jesus is a few steps away from the cross. And what he's concerned about is their troubled heart. That's the love of Christ. And it's not just about heaven. Chapter 14 is wonderful. He tells them what they're going to be doing in his absence. Verse 12, how about this? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. You say, somehow you read that wrong. Well, then you read it again. That is an amazing verse. Guys, this is what I want you to do in my absence. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to get your place ready. And when I get your place ready, I'm going to come after you. Isn't that wonderful? He's got it all planned. The next event is he's going to come after us. As he says in chapter 17, so that where I am, there you be. You're going to be there too. But in the meantime, this is what I want you to take care of. And I'm going to give you some help. That's the comforter, and that's mentioned certainly a number of times, 14, 16. Wonderful. Wonderful what the Lord has to say to us here. So he's coming down the last few minutes he's got with them. And I direct your attention now to chapter 16. And I want you to hear the conclusions, for he loved his own. He loved his own. He loved them to the end. Loved them right up to the end. And so we're at 16 and we're at 25. And here is the culmination. Here is the greatest, perhaps the greatest words of the Lord Jesus expressing his love to these disciples. Were read for us earlier at verse 25. These things have I spoken to you in Proverbs. But the time comes when I shall no more speak to you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly the Father. At that day, ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you. Because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. So he's expressing his love for the disciples. And at verse 25, he says, and the way I'm going to show you that I love you is no more Proverbs. No more Proverbs. Isn't that what it says? 25, these things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. Not the book of Proverbs, but in Proverbs. But from now on, but the time cometh, and there's a little phrase that's used. It's in verse 23. It's here in 25. It's in 26. That day, in that day, in that day. That's made plain. He's talking about the Pentecost, the time when the Holy Spirit is given. He's going to come. He's going to guide us into all truth. And in that day, no more Proverbs. No more Proverbs. I love you so much, there's not going to be any more Proverbs. No more parables. No more mysteries. The unfolding of the work of the Holy Spirit through enabling these to write unfolds the mysteries. The Lord opens up the mysteries. That's what's been hidden. He's going to make sure through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, isn't that what it says in 16:13? Nevertheless, when he, speaking about the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. So when the Holy Spirit comes, no more Proverbs, no more riddles, no more parables, no more mysteries. I love you so much, I love you so much, guys. There won't be any more of that. There's a new day coming. There's a new expression. What's the next phrase say? But I shall show you plainly the Father. I shall show you plainly the Father. Now, he has done what the Father sent him to do, and that's made plain when he gives the words of his prayer in chapter 17. I have, for example, verse 6, I have manifest thy name unto the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known all things, whatever I have given, whatever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. So the Lord Jesus has done everything that the Father asked him to do. But there's coming a day, and the time cometh, when the great love of the Father will be shown so that there will be a plain view, manifestation of him. I shall show you plainly the Father. 23 says, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. We might think that's because he's not here. But we don't have to ask him because the Father is manifest plainly. There'll be no time for questions. There'll be no need for questions. The complete revelation of the Father in that day. I'm going to show you plainly. I love you so much, I'm going to show you the Father plainly. 26, and in that day ye shall ask in my name. You shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. In that day ye shall ask in my name, but I won't pray the Father for you. Now, I'm not suggesting to you that the Lord Jesus doesn't pray for you. We know that he ever lives to make intercession for us. Hebrews 7. We know that he and the Holy Spirit pray for us. Romans chapter 8. But listen to what he tells the disciples. In that day, ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. Meaning in that day, something different. Something better. In that day, you shall ask in my name. Put that together with what he says in 23. In that day, ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatever ye shall ask the Father in my name, in that day, I won't need to pray for you. You can ask the Father yourself. Say what? You can ask the Father yourself? Read again. 26, and at that day ye shall not ask, ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you. Because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. The Lord Jesus is expressing his love for these disciples. He loved his own. He loved them to the end. And these last few cherished moments, he says to them, in that day, you won't have to rely upon me to pray for you. Just go on in. You ask in my name. You ask in my name, certainly in agreement with his will, certainly in agreement with his character. You pray in my name. You go to the Father and you ask on behalf of the Son, and he will, 24, you will receive. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask. Ask in my name, you shall receive, that your joy may be full. There's coming a time, real soon, fellas, when you can just go on in. No more barriers. I love you so much I've removed the barriers. I love you so much that I'm going to tear that curtain down and you just come on in. And I don't know about you, but if I was seated at that table, I would say, Are you sure? Are you sure? 26. For the Father himself loveth you. The Lord Jesus can make this promise to them because, verse 26, because the Father loveth you. I ask myself, how did he know that? How did he know the Father loved them? You know how he knew the Father loved them? They talked a whole lot. Get this, please. So the Lord Jesus is talking to the Father, and what's he talking about? They're talking about you. They're talking about me. Do you realize what that says? Because the Father loves you. Isn't it wonderful to be loved by the Father? I know it's Monday. That was really shabby. And I know you're tired. And I know you're young. But isn't it wonderful to be loved by a father? Isn't it wonderful to be loved by the Father? The Father loves you. The Father loves you, according to 27, because you loved me. Because you love me. He loves you. Because you believe me, he loves you. I don't care what you say, that's wonderful. It's wonderful to know the love of God. Please look at the verse again. I'm not a Greek scholar. I got all Brother Perrin had to give me, and I went away with just nothing. But that word love in verse 27, no, it's not agape. No, it's not agape. That's a wonderful truth. God loves me. That's one of them extreme loves. That's self-sacrifice, agape, God love, divine love, supernatural, uber love, extreme love, God's love. Yeah, that's, but it's not in this verse. You know what this verse says? Read it again. The Father himself, baleo, you. Say what? The Father loves you. The Father loves you like a father loves a son. Like a brother loves a brother. Like a sister loves a sister. This is family love. This is brother love. The Father loves you. The Father loves you. You still didn't get it. I mean, I got it's on. The Father likes you. Yeah, you. Look who he's speaking to. The Father likes Peter. What? The Father likes Peter? James and John, and what a motley crew. when the Lord Jesus gets with the Father and they talk about the guys, the Father tells the Son to tell them, I like them. God likes me. God likes you because you love the Lord Jesus. Because you believe Him. You believe that He came from the Father. And because you believe Him and because you love Him, the Father likes you. You're worth something. You're significant. You're significant to God. You're secure in His love. He loves you like a father loves a son. I have four. He loves you like a son loves a father. He likes you. He loves you. He loved His own. And He loved them all the way to the end. It's magnificent, folks. And I trust that the Lord will grip your hearts with that. These are the love words. These are the love words of the Lord Jesus Christ. That Christ may dwell in your hearts. Wasn't that what we read earlier? Ephesians chapter 3. That the Lord Jesus may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love. You'll be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. What the Lord Jesus tells these disciples is what He says to you today. I love you enough. I love you so much that I'm going to stop speaking to you in parables. I'm going to stop speaking to you in proverbs. I'm going to reveal the Father very plainly to you. By the aid of the Spirit of truth, you're going to understand everything I want you to understand. It's all within your grasp by the aid of the Holy Spirit. I love you so much that when you pray in my name, and you just go on in and talk to the Father. I love you so much that I want to tell you what the Father told me about you. He is very fond of you. He is very fond of you. He really does like you. It is the love of God that constrains us. I want to challenge you to become really familiar with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will meet your need for significance. It will meet your need for security. It will transform your life. It will liberate you to show the glory of God to this world. The Lord Jesus' prayer is this: I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love with which thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. That's how the Lord Jesus prays for you today. Let's pray. I offer you a quiet moment to say thank you. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you love Him, that's what He said, if you love Him, If you believe that he came from God, these words are to you. Tell him thank you for his love. Ask him to use his love to transform your love for him and your love for one another. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for these wonderful, loving words. And do your best work, please, now in each of our hearts. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for preserving these words, the revelation of your loving heart to your children today. We are eternally blessed. We thank you for these favors. In Jesus' name, amen.